Ariel Helwani's MMA show is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit.
Hello, friends. It's your old pal Ariel Helwani here on another Monday afternoon. We have a phenomenal episode of DC and Helwani coming your way in a matter of moments. We talk about the latest regarding UFC 249, John Jones, Stipe Miocic, and of course, WrestleMania 36. It's going to be great. But before we begin today's show, I do want to give a shout out to all of you, the great listeners of this podcast. Thank you so very much for continuing to download, subscribe, rate, and review the show. If you haven't yet, please start doing so. Tell all your friends about this very show and about this podcast feed during your next FaceTime group chat, Zoom chat, Skype chat, whatever you use. We appreciate you. We love you. And we thank you so very much. And we hope that you're using this as an escape valve, because we're using this show as our own escape valve. It's been a lot of fun doing it each and every week at DC. And ESPN is not just giving you this podcast each and every week. We are producing a ton of great shows for all of you to get through this time. We've got a lot of great stuff. We've got the Adam Schefter podcast. We've got Baseball Tonight. We've got the Woj Pod. We've got Cheap Heat. We've got ESPN Daily and so much more. Do check them all out wherever you get your podcast. And oh, by the way, listener discretion is advised. There were a couple of expletives here and there on this podcast, so we don't want you to be worried or nervous about it all. Anyhow, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Back in your life on this Monday, April 6, 2020. Hello again, everyone. I'm Ariel, and that's DC. This is DC and Helwani, presented by Modelo, brewed for those with the fighting spirit. DC, my
Aspacia.
Man.
Aspacia. Aspacia. Modelo Aspacia. What's up,
We
baby?
Love Modelo. Good, baby. I'm doing really well. I'd like to address the elephant in the room right off the top. Today, you are wearing a hat, and I'm concerned because
we discussed that you wouldn't bring this up.
I mean,
you're awful.
It's right there.
You're
it's
awful. Right there. You're awful.
Why?
Okay.
Why the hat?
So last week I was all excited because my buddy was here. He cut my hair. I was good. But you know, when you're going bald, like as I am, there's a phase that's really ugly, right? The week after it gets really, really bad. Right now it's really, really bad. And I think quarantine is going to force me to shave my head. All the people that have been begging me to get rid of my hair because my hairline kind of goes back here and I've been fighting them. You're probably gonna win, bro. It's bad right now, Ariel. It's very bad. And yours actually looks pretty good, honestly.
Oh, mine is phenomenal. I mean, if I get a receding hairline, I'll just have a normal hairline. I don't know who's fighting the threat of baldness more these days. You or LeBron James? At some point, just
it's
let
me,
it go.
It's
just
me.
Let it go.
It's me, bro. It's me. Like LeBron, I would die for LeBron's hairline at this point. And I know people make fun of LeBron, but I would die for LeBron's hairline. It's a thing of beauty.
Have you thought about hair plugs?
You know, man, they told me that when you do the hair plugs, you got to take some out the back. I don't know if I have any in the back to spare. You know what I'm saying? Like, how are you going to take it from the back? I don't have much back here. It's like, where are you going to take it from? It's bald in the back. It's bald on top. It's bald everywhere. You want to take hair from back here? You want me more bald in the back and then put it in the front? I was at kids wrestling practice one time. And they took a picture from top, right? And I was like, this was 5 years ago. And I go, that's how my hair looks back there? I was like, are you guys supposed to be my friends? Nobody told me? You guys supposed to be my friends and nobody told me? Have you seen me walk away from you, Ariel, all these years and see the back of my head and never say anything?
What kind of friend are you? I figured you have people who are closer to you in life, perhaps man, your wife, no, your kids, man. Who would let you know. Can we just see? I just want to know how bad it is.
Man, forget that. Okay. No, forget that. You'll never see it, actually.
All right, fair enough. We have a lot to discuss, DC. We have a lot to discuss today. First of all,
we've not got much time.
No, I mean, it's a very tight ship that they run here. For some reason, they tell us an hour, like anyone has anywhere else to go these days, right? Like, what are we doing?
No, like, it's like a hard 4 hours. Hey, like, I mean, from the top, you know, we'll be at 59 minutes and 30 seconds. You start getting calls from Bristol. You guys got to, everybody, you got 1 hour. You got 1 hour. Don't go crazy.
Corporate Jake, he runs a tight ship.
He runs a tight ship.
249 talk. We got John Jones talk. We've got WrestleMania talk, which I'm very excited about. It all wrapped up. But let's start with the new news first.
UFC 249, and let's fast forward to WrestleMania because this is what needs to be discussed. Go ahead.
Okay. Late last night, I reported that the UFC, as they have been over the last couple of weeks, they are confident that they have found a location on the west coast of the United States to hold UFC 249 on April 18th, which is less than 2 weeks away now. They're not telling a soul, even the fighters and management involved in this card. They're not telling anyone where this is, but the plan is, from what I understand, is that they will find a location on the west coast and they will hold multiple events there. So after April 18th, you have the April 25th card that was supposed to be in Lincoln. You have the May 2nd card that was supposed to be in Oklahoma City. You have the May 9th card that was supposed to be in Brazil. This will be almost like the new makeshift apex, if you will. Wow. That's what they're hoping to secure. It hasn't been finalized just yet, but they're hoping it will be early on this week. They also haven't finalized the main event, but they're hoping it's going to be Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. That's not signed just yet. So after hearing this, DC, let me ask you this. It looks like it's the west coast of the United States, not Canada, the west coast of the United States, and Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje is the fight that they want to make. Gaethje is in, Ferguson not quite yet. What about your boy? Your boy was in California, and he left. How do you explain this?
All this happened yesterday, but in the morning, I saw you tweet something about Vladimir Putin and somebody made an agreement for Habib to come back. I mean, what happened? Oh. So is Habib out now? Like, what happened? Did he not get on the private jet? Did Habib not make the flight? Like, what happened? What happened?
Wait a second.
Yesterday you put that there was an agreement. Yeah, I mean, you put that up there. And then Dana White says something. And then you come back and, oh, so you just a big gangster now, right? You're a big gangster. I was like, what is going on? I couldn't believe it. You put that there was agreement between Vladimir Putin. I'm like, wow, MMA is that big? And then all of a sudden, Dana says, no way. And you're like, I love you, Dana. And I'm like, oh, so you're a gangster now. I don't know what's going on. Can we get to that? Can we get to some place on the West Coast that nobody knows exists?
I can't breathe right now. Wait a second.
Ariel, where's this place on the West Coast? Is this a place on the West Coast? Where's this place?
So
I live on the West Coast. Oh my God!
Wait, so you read a tweet?
I read a tweet that said Vladimir Putin said Habib could leave. I was like, "What is going on?" Did you write that?
No, I didn't write that.
I thought that was you.
It was a fake me, DC.
I thought it was you. I was like, this is the most insane shit I've ever read in my life. I was like, wow, Ariel action. Vladimir Putin said he could go fight.
And wait a second. And then you saw Dana's reply, which was real to that tweet. That wasn't me. That was an imposter.
Was that a real Dana? Was that Dana's real Dana? Obviously, I'm not paying attention. I was definitely paying attention to blue checks. This so Dana responded to an imposter. Oh my God. I was like, wow, Ariel's such a gangster now.
Oh, like, he's such a gangster now. I thought that was me this whole time.
I thought the whole time. Since yesterday morning. And then you say some stuff about a place on the West Coast that I have no idea if this place even exists.
Well, let me
Yo,
just.
It's so hot. Oh my God.
You okay?
I took it off. I can't take it. Though.
Okay, I can't breathe. Okay, first of all, let me clear the air for you and everyone else.
Yeah, that please, was not man. Me.
Jesus that was Christ. Someone named Ariel Helvani with a V. Oh. But he got like 20,000 likes. It was insane.
Oh my God. Ariel Helvani.
So. That's not happening. Dana did reply, unfortunately, but he did give us some information. Where are you going? You're leaving?
I just got to open the door. It's hot, bro. Sis. It's like really hot. It got really hot up in here.
So okay, there is no Putin deal. There is no private
Look
plan.
How much I'm nothing. Sweating, bro. Look how
oh,
much
my
I'm
God.
Sweating.
Hey, your hair looks nice. Oh. It's not that bad. It looks great. So, yeah. So what I reported is true. The tweet is not true. You really thought that was me? And you didn't reach out to me and be like, yo, what's the deal with this? Usually you do that.
I just kind of thought, like, wow. Get the fight's happening.
And then you thought that I wrote I love you to him? Just like that?
I was like, oh, so you're a gangster now, right? Oh, big gangster. So all the stuff that you've been talking about, like, black power this, tough guy this, like, wow. You just going to go at Dana White like that now?
No, it wasn't me. It wasn't me, man. Oh, it wasn't so me. Listen, he has me blocked on Twitter. That should have been the first guess, right? Like, that should have been the first clue. It wasn't me, bro.
I didn't know. Yeah. That is
in any event. Oh my gosh,
that is hilarious. Good. Okay,
I needed that. Yes,
so can we please get back to this place on the West Coast? You have any more information?
What do you make of this? What do you make of this?
Okay,
multiple events in the same spot.
So let me tell you what I think. Right?
Yeah.
I'm sitting home, I'm not making any money. So, I mean, if it's on the West Coast and it's close, I'll drive there and call some fights. And if it's every single week, I'm going to make some good money over the next month or whatever it is. But, you know, I'd go call some fights if it's close. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Give me something to do. Just go in there, do my thing. Don't touch nobody. Get to my seat and just do my thing. That's not bad.
Yeah, they're talking to tribal lands, so they don't have to adhere to the state athletic commissions, right? So the California state or one of these places doesn't have to regulate it.
So let me ask you this. If you do it at like an Indian casino, tribal casino, whatever it's called, on Native American land, are you safe from the stay-at-home state legislation and are federal? Like, is everything off? Like, just because you're on that land, on this land, are you allowed to not follow the other rules? Because, I mean, California has been getting applauded for how they've attacked the coronavirus. You know, they've stayed at home and talking to one of my friends yesterday, his girlfriend, Sean Bunch, she works in the medical field. And they told her if people continue to do as good as we've done in California to this point, we may not get that massive jump like New York had. So, I mean, sounds like the state was doing a good job. So it sounds, you know, if it's on the West Coast in California, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, it would be. But, yes, to answer your question, they don't have to go by those laws. I mean, they can if they want to, but they can also just kind of be the master of their domain, so to speak. So it's fascinating. I mean, no one else – PGA just announced that the Masters is going to happen in November now. It typically happens around now, April, this past weekend. So they are hell-bent on putting this on. But for the fans at home, they don't care where this is happening. They just want it to happen.
We'll watch a fight.
It's Tony and Justin, not Tony and Khabib. Do you think if they actually keep it in California, Khabib will regret leaving?
Oh, what? I mean, he would be so disappointed, right? But again, we talked about this last week, right? Like, he did what he was told to do, right? It's not like he just left, or, you know, like, I get this a lot, right? Like, I when I put up something, talk about Habib, or we talk about it, I see a lot of people say to me, DC, your boy ran away, you're trying to protect him. Well, he wouldn't run away, right? He was told to go to Abu Dhabi. If you told me, right, and I got the amount of money that he's getting, I get to fight my belt, that there's a pandemic, and we don't know how long it's going to last, but you're going to make some money, an absurd amount of money, and then go into hiding or wherever you're going to go for Ramadan through this thing. I'd go make my money, right? I'd go fight. You tell me go to Abu Dhabi to fight, I'll go to Abu Dhabi to fight. You tell me it's in the U.S., you're going to go fight, right? Especially when you've put all this training in. So he was told to go there. He went there, and now he can't get back. But, I mean, I think, you know, and this is me, you know, I think if it's Justin and Tony, that's another fight that we wanted to see. It's going to be a great fight. And, you know, hats off to the UFC for finding a main event, a pay-per-view, main event worthy, a fight worthy of main event and a pay-per-view. And I believe that it's going to be but to me it sounds like you're saying that it's back to business, right? If this thing works, now you're back to business. Because if there's 4 weekends in a row where there's fights, UFC is now just back in business. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be wild to see how they pull it off to have everything there, like almost open up a makeshift headquarters and the way they actually get people in and out. But can I just say this? Because I spoke to Tony Ferguson last week, and he said that Khabib should be stripped. I don't think Khabib should be stripped. I think that's a crazy notion. In this time, everyone's decision should be respected. If Khabib yes. felt like being at home as a dad, as a husband, as a son is what he needed to do at this time, he should not only be respected for that, he should be applauded for that. This is the time to be selfish for your family. So all of us and our opinions don't matter. And I really think that he doesn't deserve like the hate that he's getting and all this stuff. But can I just say this as an innocent bystander, from a PR perspective, he botched this. He totally botched it. All he had to do was come out and say, like, I went home. They told me to go home, and now I'm going to stay with my family because I feel more comfortable. Last Monday comes out and says, I went to Abu Dhabi. I couldn't get in. Now I'm home, and I can't get out, right? Then on Wednesday, he's like, hey, I'm not the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Don't get mad at me. I'm staying home because I have to stay home. And then that was it. And then on Thursday, after the Ferguson interview, he comes out and goes, just send me location. Just tell me where to go. Stop looking at the hate. Stop reacting to everyone. You keep changing the message.
But here's the deal, though, right? He never said he wouldn't fight. He said, initially, I went to do what was told. I was going there to fight. Then I got stuck in Russia. I can't leave. They're saying I can't leave. People started saying there's a way for him to go fight. He's saying, send me where to go and I'll go fight, right? So it's like, I understand you say it was botched. In terms of PR, but was it? I think really that you saw a person, right, dealing with something that bothered him, right? Khabib doesn't want it. People saying he's running or he's afraid of Tony. You got as much transparency from a fighter as you will get from anybody because you're essentially going through his thoughts with him, but he's just making them public. All the things that he would have probably said to Islam, his dad, everybody, like, tell me where to fight and I'll go. He's saying it. If he's like, well, I'm stuck here. Like, I can't go back. He's just saying it, right? So he's just essentially being open and honest with everybody. Like, he was very clear that he went there. He didn't have to tell that story. Telling that story that they told him he could go to Abu Dhabi and fight and then it backfired, that could make the UFC look bad. Right, because they gave him bad information. He left California on them telling him to go there. And it was like, so he's telling you things that he could have held close to the chest because he doesn't want, Khabib has a great relationship with the UFC. So it's like, he was just, at every step, he was just open and honest and maybe shouldn't have been. But people always talk about fighters don't want to be open with him. He was open. You saw his thought process as it played out, and if it didn't work, in terms of public relations on that side of things, and too bad. But you got to see him making a decision or trying to make a decision right in front of your eyes.
You know what? It's a very fair point. And we almost can't hold people to the same standards as we would under normal circumstances because it's such a confusing time. So yeah. I'm all for transparency. I want more people to be honest, even if it, you know, may come across a little weird there. So you're right. You know what? Listen, I'm man enough to say, I'm just saying, from a distance, it was confusing, right? Every day
it was very confusing.
But you're right. This is a guy who's probably dealing with a lot. It's a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. And he's getting all these messages probably being like, you duck, you can't make weight, you're looking for an excuse.
And you're it's talking straining. About a guy that'll fight. He'll fight anywhere. That right. dude will fight right. Tony Ferguson anywhere, right? Like, he'll fight him anywhere. I know Khabib. There was one time we were wrestling in the gym, and I was like, wrestle me. He was like, no, you're big. I don't feel good. And I kind of clubbed him behind the neck, and I hurt his neck a little bit. He was like, ah, my neck. You know, like, and, hey, dude got up. He was ready to fight with me. Now, the rest of the Russians all kind of circled around me, you know, and I was like, oh, my goodness, maybe I shouldn't have hit him so hard. But he was like, he's not afraid of anybody. He'll fight me. He'll fight Miocic. He'll fight Jones. He will fight every guy up and down the roster. Dude is not afraid of anyone. So to say that is it's absurd. And I know that he really cares about fans. So he's probably reading this. He's probably reading those things, you know, and hearing all that. So at every turn, he tried to explain away something that people really don't deserve. You don't like if when you're questioning a fighter, we can't try to give you comfort in your thoughts along the way. You get point A, you get point Z. Wherever we finish, you get A, you get Z. That whole journey in between, that's between the people in the middle. And I think he tried to keep everybody in the loop at every single turn, and that backfired on him.
I'll never forget after the brawl in Las Vegas. It was crazy. It was an insane scene, him, Connor, and all that. You were the one that was able to calm him down almost, right? Like, you were the captain. He listens to you. In the midst of all this, is he asking you for advice, how to handle all this?
You know, Ariel, the other day when he put that message up, I got on Instagram and I messaged him because I know that he usually is on his phone there. I said, hey, I need to talk to you. This was maybe 2:30, right? 2:35, I get a call from Khabib, Russia. It's what I have in his phone, right? He has his American phone. He has his Russian phone. He's on FaceTime. I was like, yo, what's going on? I was like, are you out? Like, I was, are you out? And he's like, why? Why you say this? Why you say I'm out? I go, because the message you just posted sounds like you're pulling out of the fight. And he was like, no, brother, I'm not saying this. He had just finished. I mean, dude still in the sauna. He was literally and if you go to Russia, in those saunas, there's the sauna. Then there's tables where you drink tea and all that stuff. It's kind of like a whole deal, you know. He was still at the sauna. It was 11 o'clock at night. He was still doing his work. He told me exactly what he weighed. He told me he could make the weight and go fight, but he doesn't know where the fight is. And that was what was most frustrating to Khabib, was like, he just had no idea. Like, where is the fight? Everybody's talking about a fight, but like, where is the fight? And that was pretty much it. But we spoke for, you know, 30, 45 minutes, and he just was like, no, brother, I'm not out of the fight. I just want to know where the fight is. And then, you know, the next day he talked to Okamoto and told him some stuff too. And then, you know, then Dana came on and said that he was out of the fight. So, I don't know what happened between him and I speaking to that decision. I don't know.
What did he say about his weight? How much is weigh between us?
This is not between us. What do you think? Are you freaking crazy? Hey, this is not between us. Hey, did I tell you, Eric, 90% of the people that listened to our show last week finished it. This is absurd.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not tuning out. They're checking in and they're watching the – oh, I just burped. Show to completion. They're watching the show to completion. So it's like, I'm not – I mean, listen, he was in range. I'll say this.
Okay.
He was in
Fair
range.
Enough.
He was good for the time away from the fight. Knowing him today as I knew him back then, he was in range.
Okay, so we'll see how this all plays out. Dana White says on Twitter that he's going to announce the card today. You know, truth be told, I don't know if that's actually true. He's been saying for the last couple of weeks that he will announce the location. Let's see what happens. Hopefully we'll get some clarity. It's been a roller coaster, but that's where we currently stand. Now, the other elephant in the room is, yes?
We know one fight, Francis and Jardino, Jarzinho. Well, we know Francis and Jarzinho, right?
The other fight. I was going to ask you about the other fight that I think we're close to finalizing, Ewan against DC.
Me?
Calling you out. He called you out. Yeah,
I know he did. What is wrong with Ewan? Huh? Hey, what is wrong with Ewan? What is wrong with him? Dude is tripping, man.
He didn't like that you left him off the plane, even though last week you put him back on.
I put him back on. I'm trying to be fair. I'm trying to be fair to Ewan, right? Hey, Ewan, look, listen.
He had the picture of you two.
Yeah, I know. That was when I was at 205 too. I kind of look, you know, looking back, I look pretty good. You know, everybody called me fat back then. I'm like, I'm fat now. I wasn't fat back then. I was like, okay, maybe I'll go down to 205 and fight Ewan. And that lasted for about a minute and a half. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I won't go down to 205 and fight Ewan. But nah, listen, man, you know, he needs to understand that it was, I had a decision to make. Am I going to Moldova or not? I'm not going to Moldova. That was it. I had a decision to make, made a decision. But then when I realized that he was much more accessible, I put it back on. That's it.
Yeah.
He needs to understand that. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not fighting you. Point blank. Not fighting.
All right.
So,
well, there you go.
But he There's will get to fight.
Yeah, I think he's got a shot. He's in Las Vegas.
So, Ewan, don't you put my picture up on your Twitter anymore. Ewan, don't you ever put my picture up on your Twitter again.
Yes. I wonder what this card is going to look like. I don't know if Masvidal and Usman, all those fights that you laid out, I don't think any of those are happening, to be honest. Maybe the main
event. I spoke to Usman yesterday.
Oh, what did he tell you?
He looked like he was learning to play Call of Duty. I mean, it was Sunday, you know, so maybe he's just going to go back to training today. I don't know. I talked to Usman yesterday. Dude, we should kick it back. I mean, I got all the plugs now. It's like I started this show and I'm you now. The nose. My nose big enough? Is my shit growing? Is my nose big enough?
No. But you do seem to have a knack for finding the story. Any other
nuggets? Can I call them nuggets? You want nuggets? Let's see. Oh, I know. What if I know the whole fight card?
You know it?
What if I just know the whole fight card?
I wouldn't think that's a crazy thing. I feel like they tell you. I feel like they run things by you. You're the prodigal son. They love you.
I ain't telling you. I'll tell you that
one
much.
Fight. Mm-mm. One fight?
Mm-mm. I don't know the fights, actually.
So what do you know? You just said you know the fight cards. You're the mole, Daniel. You're the mole. Everyone will find out.
I don't know. I don't know the fight card.
Yeah, sure.
What I want to know is where's this place, though? Where's this place on the West Coast? That's what I want. I can't wait to find place. That out.
Gilroy, California. Here we come. The garlic capital of the world.
They'll be fighting in the high school gym. Maybe I get the principal to open the gym up.
It's probably going to look something like that, to be honest. I mean, it's going to be – no, it'll be in a venue, and I suspect on a travel line. You okay there? What's happening? You having hot flashes?
Yeah, it's just hot, bro. I put on this T-shirt today. We're doing these videos. I'm just dressed in my pajamas. You know, I get out of bed. I roll out of the bed. I sit down, and I do these things in my pajamas, and they're just everywhere. So today I put on a shirt. You know, it's not a nice shirt, but it's a nicer shirt. Unfortunately, my wife never turned off the heater, so it's crazy hot in my house right now. I'm still wearing sweats, though. It's like business up top, party on the bottom. You know, I'm still in my pajamas on the bottom.
When I did my interview with Tony Ferguson on SportsCenter, I was wearing full suit on top, sweatpants on the bottom. It's amazing. I love it. Have you left your house yet?
Yeah, I left my house Sunday. I took my kids to we went to my old house to grab my niece's, her bike. We grabbed my niece's bike because she's been here with us. And the kids wanted to grab a couple of their older toys that they had. So we just went there. That was it. That's the first. My wife has not left the house. It's 21 or 28 days, Selena? Almost 4 weeks. She's almost 4 weeks not out of the house, bro. Respect. I don't know how she's doing it.
The last time I left my house was March 11th.
So you guys are the bar. Like, you guys are the bar for social distancing and the stay at home. You guys, you should be applauded. You and Selena Cormier should be applauded for staying at home. You guys are doing great.
Listen, we're trying to practice what we preach. I want to ask you about something before we move along to other stuff. I did have a conversation last week, and I'm actually kind of surprised you spoke to me, if I'm being honest, with your good friend Stipe Miocic. This guy doesn't like you, DC. I mean, holy smokes, do things get awkward when I ask him about you. Did you see this interview?
Nope.
He does not entertain – he won't even entertain a question about the next fight and you. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm not worried about any of that. Like, it gets really awkward whenever you ask him about the eye. I can understand that. The next fight and you. Doesn't want to entertain any of it.
I think right now he's being a fireman, which is what's way more important. You know, that's way more important right now. That's what he should be worried about. But, you know – he doesn't want to fight me, you know. Maybe he doesn't want to talk about it, but I mean, I bashed him upside his head for a good 20 minutes, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I wouldn't want to fight me either, you know? Like, what if you can't punch me in the stomach next time? Then what is he going to do? You know, so it would be very difficult to think about fighting, us fighting again whenever, you know, he understands that if I'm healthy and when I'm healthy and, you know, I correct this little bit of a problem I got here, he's gonna have a lot of trouble. So,
but do you think it's weird? Like, it's the fight business.
He's doing the right thing, worrying about the virus. I get it. You know, he's a service worker. That's his job in this time, and I applaud that. But when it gets time to get back to the fight business, you got to play the fight game. And he doesn't necessarily play the fight game, and that's why for someone so talented, right, and such a phenomenal fighter. He just has not made that connection with the world for people to tune in yet. And it's because he won't play the fight game. Sometimes you got to play the game, and he isn't willing to do it. Because this is a grand opportunity, right? This is the opportunity for him to take a guy, me, that he beat last time, that I beat him before. We're in this great trilogy, right? Like one of the best trilogies in heavyweight history. This is the one to play the game. This is why you play the game. And if he ain't willing to play the game in this one, I don't know what or when he's ever going to be willing to play the game. And at the end of the day, he'll walk away from this thing and you'll have a lot less zeros in your bank account because you didn't make people care. So ultimately, he's only hurting himself.
Is it frustrating for you? I know you said you didn't watch the one last week. Quite frankly, I don't believe you because what the hell else were you doing? But anyway, is it frustrating?
Yeah.
Video like games a lot. The fact that he just won't engage at all, like there's of this.
Well, but I think right now, honestly, man, like I do believe that he's being genuine in saying that he's just worried about that other stuff, right? Most people are. Like not everybody's still thinking about the fights, you know, like right. People aren't all just sitting there thinking about when am I going to fight next? And especially a guy like Stipe, who's made money, you know, and his money probably goes pretty far living in Ohio. So it's like he can focus on a lot of different things right now as opposed to worrying about when and what the next fight's going to be.
You know, I was watching WrestleMania all weekend, and we'll get to that, I promise. But he was actually shown a few times in the Modelo commercial. Our good friends over at Modelo announcing that they will be contributing to first responders and donating a lot to them as well. So we're very proud to be partnered with Modelo. And DC, I do believe that this week you have taken it upon yourself to read our ad. So please, the floor is yours.
Yes, the book of Modelo. Modelo is brewed for those with the fighting spirit. Modelo is the official beer of UFC and partners with the likes of UFC champion Amanda Nunes. The fighting spirit means never giving up, even when the odds are against you. Beers are like fighters. It doesn't matter where you come from. It matters what you're made of. For those who don't know already, Modelo is a crisp Pilsner-style lager that set the standard for authentic Mexican beer. It's been the gold standard since 1925. Modelo uses premium hops to give the golden lager its crisp taste. So next time you're tuning into the UFC, make sure you got the beer that always in your corner, Modelo. Brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Wow.
You like that? You like that, baby? I can.
Yeah. Espacial. DC texted me in the middle of WrestleMania this weekend a picture of him holding a Modelo. He's all
it's
in.
It's my favorite beer. I love it.
Legit.
You know, man, at first I would drink Bud Light all the time. And then I just realized like I was drinking it and not starting to feel fuzzy. So I said, let me try Modelo. And it's very light. It's crisp. It's very crisp. It tastes great. And I'm in this group message with my friends, Jamil, Kelly, Coleman, Scott, Chris Pendleton, Zach Esposito. In 12 o'clock every day, Maze featuring Frankie Beverly. I put on Golden Time of Day and I send it to them with me holding my beer, seeing if they're doing the same thing. Cause what else are we doing? What else are we doing at 12 o'clock every day of the week? So yeah, it's fun, man. It's a fun group to be a part of.
Thank you very much to Modelo. We appreciate them greatly, and we want you guys to support them as well because they support us. Now, moving along, DC, we found out that your old friend John Jones agreed to a plea agreement with the Albuquerque State Department, and this is he pleaded guilty to DWI, second offense, last Tuesday. He will not face any jail time. If he follows the terms of the plea agreement, according to a spokesperson for the Bernalillo County, New Mexico District Attorney, he will be good to go. No jail time whatsoever. He was arrested on 4 charges 2 Thursdays ago in Albuquerque. Per the agreement, DC, Jones must serve 96 consecutive hours in a county community custody program similar to house arrest. In addition, Jones must complete 48 hours of community service, pay a $500 fine, and take part in a 90-day outpatient treatment program. Jones will be on supervised probation for 1 year, and an interlock ignition will be placed on any vehicle he operates, meaning he won't be able to start his vehicle without using a device to test blood alcohol level. He'll be able to use marijuana with a medical card. So what do you make of the agreement here? Do you think that this punishment fit the crime?
You know, in standalone, the crime wasn't that bad, I guess. You know, like, but with the history, it's different. But I mean, house arrest. We're all on house arrest. What is on house arrest right now, Ariel? We're all on house arrest. You know, we're on house arrest, and but you know, putting that thing on his car so that he can't drive drunk will help. I kind of wish that, you know, let's see who the supervisor of his probation is. You know, if it's like an actual like cop or something, yeah, that'll really help him. I just think that he still will need something to really like kind of like almost punch him in the stomach, you know, because I don't know if this is going to be it, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, a lot of people. Will be it.
I just don't know if this will be
it. A lot of people said the same thing that you said. Yeah. Everyone's on house arrest, so where's the punishment?
Yeah, I just think that – I just don't know if this is going to be it. I think that
what's going on back there?
Yeah, man, I just asked for like 1 hour. Hey, Zori, uncle's working. Could you take that upstairs?
I maybe do 1 hour a week. That's all.
I know, right? Like
last week you were in an office. It was great. You told me, oh, the office is down.
Yeah, but my kids, the office is now the classroom, and my kids' education is much more important than our radio show. I know in your world.
Well, you know, I mean, it sounds Oliver? Like they're not in.
Hey, where's Oliver? Where's Oliver doing his classwork at? Where's Oliver downstairs, doing his classwork?
Downstairs.
Oh, wow. So you have your own studio up there.
Yeah.
Big old house. No, but like I said, I don't know if that's going to be enough. And I think that – and this is not me hoping that he would get sent to jail. I just don't think that this punishment is going to be enough to stop him from doing those types of things again. I mean, ultimately there will be something else. And sadly, there's going to be something else. It's just not enough.
Pretty amazing that it happened so quickly, right? Because we
were told –
Yeah, we were told it was a hearing April 8th, and then we got this not even – what day was this? This was March 31st.
It's almost like you thought things would slow down because of the coronavirus, but they got this thing done quick, which is – he's got a good team, right? Because it's smart to get it done right away before it sets and stews and everybody's thinking everything through about all the past and history. Get it done right away. Let's get in there. Let's get it done right away. Let's start contacting these people to make sure that, you know, we don't want people to sit on this thing and stew on it, because then they start to put everything up against each other. Let's get it done right away. So yeah, you know, his team did, you know, I think his team has done a good job at every turn in terms of all the things that he's gotten into trouble doing. But the reality is, for as good of a job as they're doing, I still don't believe they're doing him any favors.
Do you follow him on Instagram?
No. I don't.
Are you blocked?
No, I just don't follow him.
Okay, because
I used to follow him on Twitter before when I was still wrestling. I the kid started fighting at UFC 100, right? Didn't he fight UFC 100?
Yep.
And I said, "Oh man, this kid's awesome!" Like I started following him, and then we had that incident back around 2010 or 11, and then I was like, "I'm not following this." Actually, you know what? I still follow him. I still followed him up until right before our first fight, because I just forgot that I was following him. And the dude sent me a direct message. And then when I went to respond to him, it was like, he didn't follow me or something, so I couldn't send it. So I screen grabbed it and put it on the internet or something. So yeah, but I
what was the message?
One of those John Jones things, like, I'm going to make you know, we had spoken. One time he said something publicly about being my daddy, right? And then I guess people started going, his dad got killed, you know, what an asshole. You know, and so then Dana called me on three-way with Jones, and Jones was apologizing. Like, him, wow. I didn't know, you know, da-da-da-da-da, all that. Like, I didn't know all that happened. And I was like, okay. I was like, no problem. Let's just go fight. And then we got into an argument again, and then he sent the message saying the same thing. And I was like, oh, my God. And I was like, what the hell? You know, we got into an argument or something, like, which is what we always do. And so then he said the same thing. And I was like, well, what was the point of that conversation? Like, what was the point of having Dana White call me? Listen to this, though. No lie. This dude is so crazy. John Jones is so crazy. This is crazy, right? I know every week I got like some insane story, but listen to this. I'm at my house one night. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I get a video from a random number that I don't recognize. And it's like four guys in a bar and they're discussing who's the greatest fighter of all time. And they're like, oh, shoot, you know, John Jones, you know, John Jones, you're the man, I'm telling you. But I like DC, man. We like DC. DC got game, you know, da-da. And it's like, and then the person says something behind the camera. And the guy goes, no, I'm telling you, John. I'm telling you, John. Like, it, I said it. And then I'm like, is this John Jones? John Jones sent me a video. He sent me a video in the middle of the night of guys discussing who was the greatest fighter of all time. I was like, what? Why did you give a phone? Dude, I'm telling you, it was John.
You guys text?
I don't text him. I just went, who is this?
Did you reply?
I said, who is this? Oh. And then there was no response, you know, because he might have like woke up the next morning like, did I really text that dude? Like, it was a video of like four black guys. They're discussing who's the greatest fighter of all time. I swear to God, they were talking about me and Jones.
And then the guy goes,
John said something. And the guy goes, no, John, I'm serious. I'm telling you. Like, I'm telling you.
Like, when was this?
Dude, if I look through my phone, it was a while back. But if I look through my phone, I bet I can get this video. But like, it was like, yeah, the guy was like, I'm serious, John. No, I'm telling you, I agreed with you. Like, you are the best. But man, we like DC. It was crazy. It was the weirdest thing. I was like, this cannot be John Jones actually texting me. This is the craziest thing in the world. It's like you texted me.
Like, did you ever text with him prior to that?
Mm-mm.
No.
You know, last week, I kind of was like, when I first heard about this arresting, I was like, should I reach out to this guy?
But wow, then
I
really?
I was like, nah.
What were you going to say?
It's like, come on, man. Like, come on, dude. Like, come on. You know, like, just come on. Like, get it together. But then I did.
Do you think he would have appreciated that?
I don't really know. I don't really care. But, like, I just, like, in the midst of it, I kind of was like, come on. Like, come on, dude. Like, you know. But then, you know, my thoughts got better. And I was like, wait, remember who we're thinking about here? This guy sent you a video in the middle of the night. Like, you were sleeping. You know, tucked in bed. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning, like 3 o'clock in the morning. Like what?
You must have been really bored to start thinking that you're going to send him a message like that sitting around.
You know that I'm in bed. I'm sleeping. You know, I'm not out at 2 o'clock. But yeah. Dude sent me a text message, man. That's some crazy stuff, huh?
By the way, did you guys ever find out?
I think this dude's like, so I think the dude like is obsessed with me. Like I think he likes me. Like he actually might like me because he sent me a text message.
Well, he said recently that you like you're kind of an inspiration to him, right? That you know later, you know, right before the Reyes fight, he said this. He paid you a nice compliment about how to be older in your career and treat yourself, and right? No, you're not buying any of this.
No. Send me a message, man. Like in the middle of the night, like just talking about who's the greatest fighter of all time. It's crazy, you know. But you could tell, but the guy is talking to him. You know, I think he recognizes where I stand in this game. You know what I'm saying? Because In that conversation, it was who's the best, and it wasn't all these other dudes. It was him or me. You know what I'm saying? And that's it just shows you that people around the world respect what I've done in this game.
Of course. By the way, did you ever find out who recorded that satellite interview and like how it got out to the world and all that?
No, I don't think it took a genius to do it. But I think honestly, if I got a guess, I think it was the Canadians. TSN, I think TSN Stop. Got me, dog. I think it was Stop. The Canadians, dog. It was the Canadians. It was our friends up north. Our friends up north kept the camera on. It was the Canadians. The Canadians actually, who would have thought the Canadians, Justin Trudeau, who thought the Canadians.
He wasn't even around back then.
Who knew the Canadians weren't a peaceful people? I thought you guys were peaceful and didn't start trash. But now, come to find out, it was TSN. It was TSN.
Yeah, come to find out.
It was TSN. It was the Canadians.
The New York Times over the weekend had an op-ed column where they said Canada is, what is it? What did they say? The moral compass of the world or something like that? I mean, it was the ultimate compliment.
Now I'm chipping away at that thought because the Canadians let that video out. Turn me into a villain.
Okay, enough of all this. Now let's talk about WrestleMania. This is what we really – that was all foreplay. We've been dying to talk about WrestleMania. Okay, let's do it. I have so many thoughts. First of all, let me just ask you this. Two nights, It was like 3.5, 3.5 both nights. They broke it up, 16 matches, empty performance center.
Look who's behind you. Look who's behind you. Look behind you.
Oh, who's there? Claire. Claire, I want to talk about WrestleMania.
Claire just gave it. I'm doing a show right now.
We're talking about wrestling. I'll be back.
I'm so happy that happened. I'm so happy that happened.
I'll be back. Okay. Two nights. I didn't even notice. First time it's happened. That's amazing. Did you enjoy it? MT Performance Center. Did you enjoy it overall? Did you like it?
It started slow. It started slow, right? Like, and you and I were texting back and forth the whole time. We were listening. And I told you to turn the volume off. Maybe that'll help because then you're just watching wrestling, right? You don't hear all the yelling and screaming. But it picked up. It got better. It got better. And then it just reached a level on night one at the end that I never thought it could reach. And then I thought it was over at night one and night two. It actually got better. It was like, I just think that whoever came up with, look, wrestling in front of an empty arena. Right. I love seeing the Monday Night Messiah come out and be all white, you know, Seth Rollins and, you know, he, you know, finally getting Kevin Owens getting a big victory, you know. But for me, the in the ring things with no crowd, I understood how much I love the role that the commentators play because they help you build and tell the story of the match and this weekend. It didn't work, right? Cause they were talking about a moment like WrestleMania. And it was like, you know, there's not 90,000, but for what they had to work with, I thought JBL, I thought Michael Cole, I thought all these people did a wonderful job of putting on a great show. But again, the stuff off Complex worked the best.
That was the best by far. Yeah. You know, I still feel a little funny about them continuing to do it because we're telling everyone to practice social distancing. Same thing I feel about 249. Like I probably think that, you know, we shouldn't be doing this because all the other sports are shut down. But I will admit if I'm able to, and this is all like you were saying with Khabib, like it's all very confusing. We all have mixed emotions, but to have it two nights and getting my sons, especially my middle son, Walter, who's very much like me, they were all in, my man. Like, I've never watched a wrestling event with them like this. They were all in, and I showed them all the preview videos and all the packages, which WWE does better than anyone. They were all in. And then, like, when you get to, as you said, the Boneyard match, it was so ludicrous that it was fun, right? Hey, it was so insane that it was fun.
Ariel, I watched the lead up, right? And you can, you know what's so great? And you know, I understand the coronavirus has us all like locked in, but the excitement around WrestleMania was like unheralded. It was like we were texting each other an hour before, like, oh my goodness. Then again, all my friends are texting me like WrestleMania is about to start. Like everybody was sitting down with their kid to watch wrestling because it was the first thing that we've had in a while that was live and something different. You know what I'm saying? So, but the Boneyard match. The Boneyard match. Oh, goodness. Alan Jones. Alan Jones versus The Undertaker.
Mark.
Come on, Alan. Mark Calloway. Come on, Alan. Hey, he's like, come on, Alan. And then I'm thinking I'm going to see the dead man, but I get the American Badass. You get the American Badass Undertaker, the guy that rode the motorcycles. It was freaking phenomenal, man. And then the whole time I'm like expecting Kane to come and help him whenever the OC was there, no Kane. Then all of a sudden there's like music playing in the background. It was just,
the music was ridiculous. The lower thirds and stuff. It was like a little mini movie.
Sometimes it could be so ridiculous that it's great. And it was great. And the finish was awesome because little Daniel walks downstairs and he looks at he goes, wait, what? AJ Styles died? Because AJ's hand is like out of the grave. AJ's hand's out of the grave. The phenomenal one's gone. And I'm like, Dan's like, he died? And The Undertaker just said, he's like, hey, don't bury me. AJ's, don't bury me. Who knew AJ Styles was such a good actor? AJ's like, don't bury me. Don't bury me. Undertaker kicks. Dan goes, he got kicked. And then he must have passed out or something. And then The Undertaker buried him alive. He's like, Is AJ Styles really dead, Dad? He's like, Dad, I'd like to watch the whole Boneyard match because he watches the end. I said, Pop, I don't know if I can show it to you. I can't. I need him to think that that AJ Styles is gone until he sees him on Raw next time.
Yeah, that's the best part is suspending the disbelief. Mm-hmm. The
the music and all that stuff was so ridiculous, but it was fun. It may have extended Undertaker's career another 5 years.
I hope he fights the Boneyard match every year.
Oh, yeah. This is way better for him. The top three matches on the first night, Boneyard number one by far. Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins jumping down and all that stuff, tremendous. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then the ladder match. But then we get to night two. Let me just tell. I rewatched this. So my kids, I built up the Fiend. I showed them everything. We went through a compilation of every Firefly Funhouse segment. They were all in on him. And Cena, everyone loves Cena. All the kids love Cena. My son Walter stayed up till 10:30. Everyone went to bed for this match. And I don't think he understood what was going on with the Nitro and the old cut. I rewatched it this morning. I enjoyed that so much. However long it was, that was incredible. That's one of my favorite wrestling moments ever. Like that little match or whatever you want to – that Firefly Funhouse, whatever the hell that was. Bray Wyatt, I will admit, like this time last week, I wasn't really up to speed on this new gimmick of his. I kind of checked out this past year. That is insane. Like the way he does all that, the character, and it is phenomenal. Wow. I love it. I adore it.
Will never, ever end. Hi. Listen.
Yowie, wowie.
Did you see the one where he's like dancing like this? Like he's like dancing and shit?
Amazing.
Dude, they let him go. When I first saw it, I read up on this like so in depth and they let him go. He had this idea. They let him try it and it turned crazy. Right. Then he lost to Goldberg at Super Showdown. And so when you got a person like The Fiend who had never lost, he was wrestling in front of his red light, he gets beat by Goldberg. Now you could lose a little bit of that like luster. How do you rebuild that? That. What him and John Cena did last night is he's a bigger monster today than he's ever been because of, I mean, one move. It took one move.
Amazing.
This is the Abigail match over. Man, and John Cena? Hollywood Cena? Hollywood Cena's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Now do we agree?
Hey. Cena's like, ruthless aggression. Did he just miss him? Ruthless aggression. It was awesome. And then Hollywood Cena, and then he's like Eric Bischoff, the coolest guy I've ever seen. Like, what is going on, bro?
It was so good. They nailed that. That was because everything that was happening in the empty arena was a little bit depressing, right?
Yeah, everything.
It felt like an old episode of Tough Enough, if you remember that show.
This was the best.
The produced stuff was amazing. But Firefly Funhouse was better than Boneyard, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Because what those guys did last night, what they told, that little story they told, was amazing. And then, man, what people always talk about, I remember people always boo, John Cena. And Bray Wyatt kind of played on that last night. Like, you're a bully. There's always a championship. Da, da. John Cena, understand. John Cena will do business, right? John Cena will do business. And a lot of people don't, right? The old days, on your way out, you put somebody over, right? You put somebody over and you let them go in ascend. The Rock did it for John Cena. He won the belt 1 year, came back, got pinned by Cena. Let Cena go, right? Everybody did it. John Cena does business. Brock Lesnar does business. He doesn't put you over like back in the day, man. Like, do you remember when Hulk Hogan used to have to let somebody pin him? He would cry. He would complain. He wouldn't leave the ring. He's when the Undertaker, like when he lost to the Ultimate Warrior, he's on the ground begging, please, that was two. Come on. Yeah. It's like, get out, dude, or lay down. Just lay there.
Yeah, because Brock lay down the whole time. I actually just spoke to Drew, and he said that meant so much to him that he allowed
him the business.
To celebrate.
Yeah, Brock's the man, bro, because Brock's the man, and Brock understands the business. If you're going to put somebody – he put Drew McIntyre over. Like, him just laying in the ring like that, that makes Drew McIntyre look like it's a new level now. It's new level, right? You don't run out of there and disappear. You put the dude over. You don't complain, act like you kicked out at two. You do the business. John Cena? Who's been a 16-time world champion or 17, however many, he gets hit with that move. He gets pinned by Bray Wyatt. 1, 2, 3, right? It's over. Back in the day when Bray Wyatt was coming up, John Cena beat him, right? Heard the Bray Wyatt character when Bray and those three guys, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, were really good. Heard his character a little bit, right? Took a little intrigue back. So he paid him back, right? He put him over. One move. Sister Abigail pinned. 1, 2, 3. John Cena lays on his back. Segment ends. Brock Lesnar gets pinned. One, Brock Lesnar hits him with all kinds of F5s. Boom. Gets hit with the Claymore kick. Pin. One, two, three. Lays there on his belly while the dude's celebrating going off air. These dudes know how to do business. You got to do business if you want to play the game, man. The Rock knows how to play the game. The Rock lets John Cena pin him. It's like, stop complaining. Don't be one of those guys like back in the day where your ego is so big you can't put the next guy over. It was amazing. Brock's the man, though. Brock's the man. Yeah.
And Mark Raimondi has a piece up on ESPN.com, which you were a part of.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying so, like, he kind of has this personality of being this, you know, this guy who's a little intimidating and not nice to play with others and all that stuff. And everyone spoke very glowingly of him. By the way, you did your picks. You had your picks out with Cain Velasquez.
I was awful.
Yeah, I think, what were you? 12 for 6. So, you know, 12 right, 6 wrong, I believe.
I didn't win 12. I didn't get 12 right.
Or did I get 6? What did
six
I do?
Right, 12 wrong, maybe.
Oh, my bad. I'm seeing here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You got 12 right.
I got 12 right?
Yeah.
At
Cesaro,
one point,
Liv Morgan, Drew McIntyre, Braun Strowman.
Oh, so I won some matches that I didn't watch. I didn't watch Cesaro. I didn't watch Liv Morgan. I don't even
know. You picked Bray Wyatt. You went against our fellow MMA fighter, Shayna Baszler, which Becky Lynch then used as some sort of, you know, trash talking item.
I just kind of know, like the man, because the man is the best, right? The man ain't losing the belt right now. The man just got her brand new 18 wheeler. Why would she lose the belt already? She just got the 18 wheeler. The man just got the truck. So the man's going to have the belt for a while. And then Kane goes, "You cheated. I think you cheated." I'm like, how would I cheat? If anybody's going to cheat, you're going to cheat. You're the guy that works for the company.
Yeah.
After night one, Kane's like 7-1. I'm like, you cheated. He's like, no, I didn't cheat. I was like, you cheated, dude. You knew something that I did.
Before it's all said and done, if you don't have a WrestleMania moment, will life not feel like it was, fully fulfilled?
I need my WrestleMania moment, man. But not, I need my WrestleMania moment in front of 70,000, though. I need my moment in front of 70,000, man. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping Kane, right? I'm hoping Kane can become such a star in this that I can do a run-in or something. I need my moment. Triple H, Vince, I need my moment. I need my moment, fellas. Let me have it with Kane, please. Let me have it. And also,
what would be the perfect angle? What would be the perfect angle?
Also, man, hey, wait, one more thing. Also, let Kane do his lucha moves, man. Let him do his lucha moves. Like, come on.
Yes.
Let him do his lucha moves. He's good at it. Let Kane do his lucha moves. People love seeing a big guy like that do all those lucha moves. Let him do it. And he'll still
be. They botched it with him.
Yeah, like we all know he can fight, right? And when he's doing his lucha, if it becomes like a knockdown dragout, we know Cain Velasquez can beat anybody in the WWE. You can always sell that. But you can also sell a guy that can move like that and do all those lucha moves. Let Cain do his lucha moves, man, next time he's out there. But the perfect angle for me would be help Cain win a belt, but not any belt. I don't want to help Cain win the world title. I want to help Kane win the Intercontinental Championship.
What?
I want to help. Yes, listen. You have to understand now. You have to understand now. See, this is the thing that you don't get, man. I'm wasting my time talking to a noob. You've checked out. You don't understand the game.
I'm back in.
All right. I want to help Kane win the Intercontinental title because Mr. Perfect, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, the Ultimate Warrior, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, all these guys were Intercontinental Champions before they became World Champions. So I want to be there to help Kane win his first title. That tells me he's on his way up to the top. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't like when guys just win belts without any, like, I don't want to see the guy that doesn't. I mean, did Roman Reigns ever win the Intercontinental Championship? Because I need those guys to hold that second belt first, right? Because that's the way it used to be. And when they do that, so when I help Kane win the Intercontinental title, not the 24/7 title, you can get rid of the 24/7 title. I don't like Gronkowski. Well, Gronkowski, but Intercontinental Championship, WrestleMania, Kane versus somebody. I just want to trip him, though. I don't even want to hit him. When they go to the rope, I want to pull the foot. Like, you know how you pull the foot from, trip them underneath, they fall flat, can't hit them with the finishing move, match over, we celebrate in front of 75,000. Oh, at WrestleMania, DC and Cain Velasquez and his good friend, just think about it. Oh, one, two, three. Cain Velasquez, the winner and new WWE Intercontinental Champion, Cain Velasquez. And then Michael Cole comes in, and Daniel Cormier and Cain, their friendship from the American Kickboxing Academy, 275,000 at the Hollywood Forum or whatever it is, the Rose Bowl. This full circle, these two have come. What a moment. We're both out there crying and shit. Oh, we're jumping. And then, oh my goodness, in comes Michelle and Coral, and there's little Cain, and he has a little Cain. It's like, it'd be the greatest WrestleMania moment ever.
El Toro. Yes. El Toro. Listen, I got the perfect idea. I got the perfect setting. What has been sort of like a house of horrors for you?
House of horrors? Any of those Halloween things that you walk in, they got the mirrors.
No. Moved. Where is the one
Anaheim.
Place you say?
Oh my goodness, Anaheim. We do it
okay. Well, so it's not Anaheim, but next year's WrestleMania is where?
It's in LA. It's in LA.
You it's come back full circle. You right those wrongs and you help your friend win all the championship.
But not perfect, only help, right? Like, Kane dropped the belt there. I dropped the belt in L.A. Luke dropped I dropped two belts in L.A. AKA has lost four UFC championships in L.A. So for Kane to win a title in L.A., and me and Luke lives in L.A., we can all run in the ring. We could celebrate.
Oh, that'd be so great.
It would be the biggest WrestleMania moment ever. Listen, guys. Listen. We're giving you gold here, just like we gave you gold with the camera angles. Remember
that's right.
We gave the camera angles.
And I told Triple H that he needs to thank us when I spoke to Paul. Yes, yes.
Paul
he
LeVesque.
Gave us full credit.
Listen, Ariel, at this point, we're not calling him Triple H anymore. We're calling him Paul.
We're Paul first name
Vince.
Basis.
Paul and Vince. Hey, Paul and Vince.
Speaking of Vince, did you see that the president held a conference call with all these commissioners and included were Dana White and Vince McMahon?
That's so crazy. Like, what is going on? April, where are we living? Like, in what world are we living in? Bizarro world. Did you see the episode of Seinfeld where they're in Bizarro world?
Like, yes.
They were in Bizarro world.
Like, what could you imagine? I was listening to my guys. I'm kind of taking this from them. John Pollock and Wei Ting, postwrestling.com. Check them out. Could you imagine? Like, we're doing this on Zoom right now, right? Mm-hmm. Could you imagine that Zoom meeting with like Roger Goodell, Adam Silver, Gary Bettman, Dana White, Vince McMahon? Who's the guy that shows up last, right? Like, because you want to be the big dog, be like, oh, I'm sorry, President Trump.
Dana White.
Outside.
Dana White shows up last. Dana White shows up last. Dana White absolutely shows up last. Because here's the deal, right? For as great as all the sports are, everybody wants to be a fighter. And everybody wants to be a fighter. Everybody want to be able to fight. That's why you see sometimes basketball players fight each other, and it's awful. When basketball players fight, it's awful. The only basketball player that I truly thought in the world could fight was Latrell Sprewell. He was very scary. Football players, the fights aren't good. So Dana White definitely, the boss shows up last every time.
I would have loved to see that Zoom chat. Like, one guy couldn't care less. Like, Vince is probably like working out. He has it off to the side. Couldn't care less, right?
Sorry. Vince is like, sorry, Trump. I mean, remember you used to work for me. Hey, Vince is like, Trump, you remember when you used to work for me? Like, Vince is all lifted. Like,
Well, this is amazing. You know what's amazing? Usually the last couple of weeks throughout the show, Corporate Jake has been sending me updates like, 20 minutes left, 15 minutes left. He hasn't sent me one update. I don't even know if he's still there.
We put him on the spot. You know, like, we put him on the spot. Yeah, it's 10:02 though. Hey, Ariel, I'm paid for an hour. You know, you're 2 minutes over. It's time to start counting my overtime.
You don't gots to go home, but you gots to get the hell out of here.
Get the hell out of D.C. and Helwani.
Oh, wait. I think he just wrote me. Let's see what he wrote.
What did he say?
Rap. Rap with an exclamation point. DC, thank you very much. I'm glad that we started with the hat, but then in the end shed the hat. I'm glad that we solved the mystery of who was that person tweeting Dana White yesterday.
Well, oh my goodness. Who was that? Can you believe that I thought that was you? That's bad, man. I gotta do better, man. I gotta do better.
Thank you so much to Modelo for helping us out and for being a part of the team. DC, you're the man. Thanks to Jake, Corporate Jake, and TST back in Bristol as well. Thank you to all of you who continue to download, rate, review, subscribe, do your thing. Let the world know about DC and Helwani. We're the ones who are going to get us out of this mess, all right? When the book is written about this pandemic and how ESPN came out, these two guys right here will be the ones written the first line about the ones who pulled us out of this darkness, yes?
Give me that little short fizz, Ariel.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I like to hold mine high. Ariel holds his right about half cocked right there.
Power to the people, my brother.
To the people. Everybody stay safe out. Hey, stay safe out there, man. Stay with your loved ones. We'll get through it.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.